We've already been talking about that we live in troubled times. I was thinking earlier, you know, on the musical, the music man, he was talking about the pool hall, and he said, that starts with P, that rhymes with T, that stands for trouble. And I was thinking, you know, all the things that are going on, there's a lot of perversion out there. That also starts with P, that rhymes with T, that stands for trouble. We live in troubled times. I mean, more and more we can see that what the Bible calls evil, society is calling good. We can see that. We can see what the Bible calls good, society is calling evil. I mean, we would have never dreamed, growing up, I would have never dreamed that the policeman would be the bad guy. I would have never thought that growing up. I mean, I was taught that if there's a problem, you go to the police and they'll help you. I would have never dreamed that the preachers would be the bad guys, or that the Christians would be the bad guys. And yet that's what's being spoken either verbally or through action in our society. Now, while we always have to walk in love, we always have to be kind, we've got to take a stand in these days, or we're going to see more freedoms eroded and removed. But we've got to take the stand, as we've already talked about, in the spirit realm. And we've got to take authority over the evil spirits. The battle has been long coming, and the enemy has been taking the ground. And I almost see him like in the days of Isaiah, when the Assyrians circled Jerusalem, and they came and they were telling Jerusalem, they were saying, what's going to stop us? The gods of these people, the gods of these people, the gods of these people, all these other gods couldn't stop us. Why do you think your God can stop us? And the guards on the wall said to those people, they said, no, talk to us in your language and not in our language. And they said, no, we're talking in your language so everybody can hear and understand. And that's what the devil's doing. He's taunting the church, and he's telling us that there's nothing we can do. There's no way we can take a stand. There's no way we can win. But then the Lord spoke and said, you know what, they're going to be gone in 24 hours. The battle may be quick. It may not be quick. It's been long coming, and the Lord could resolve it in an hour. But we need to be prepared to stand. It may take a long time. It may not, but however long it takes, it's worth a fight spiritually because of our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. It's worth the fight because of that, and we need to be able to take the stand. We read a couple weeks ago, 2 Timothy 3:1 says, this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, perilous, fierce times. And that when it says last days, it's referring to the last of the last days. They're coming. We're going to have those types of days. Jesus said in John 16:33, this is the Amplified Version, it says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. That's where we need to be, in perfect peace and confidence. That means not afraid. He said, perfect peace and confidence. In the world you'll have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. That's where we were a few weeks ago when the Supreme Court decision came down, right? We were frustrated. The whole church was frustrated. Frustration. This is, but be of good cheer. That's the vision I saw when I saw the king say, we're right on schedule. And the people celebrated. They were of good cheer. We need to be of good cheer. Now, here's what the devil's saying to us. Well, it's your own stupid fault. Why are you so happy? You're the one who did it. Here's why we can be of good cheer. Because even if it's the church's fault, the church can celebrate because it's not too late to turn it around. It's not too late for us to seek God and find out what He wants us to do now. It says, be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I've deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. There's going to be trouble, but we just need to know whose side we're on. And we know how to handle it. How do we handle the trouble? What do we do today? Do we get mad And now we can get mad in the spirit, we can get mad at the devil, but we cannot be anything but kind to people. And as Chris and Jerry have already shared, people have a hole for love. They need something. They need to know that somehow they can connect to the love of God. And that's what they don't even know they need that, but we've got to somehow bring that to them. We've got to handle trouble with the Word of God. Let me just read you some verses of Scripture, and you can follow me if you want to. Psalm 27, verse 5. I like these verses I'm getting ready to read to you. It says, "For in the time of trouble," talking about God, "He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." This is a time of trouble. We're acting like chickens in a chicken coop, and somebody threw a fox in the middle of us. And the church is screaming, and feathers are flying everywhere. The Lord hides us in His pavilion in trouble. Doesn't sound like we're supposed to be nervous to me. It sounds like we're to be hidden. Why? Because the Bible says that we are peculiar people. We're the ones He takes and puts aside for Himself. He hides us in trouble. Psalm 32, verse 7 says, and here's that hiding place. "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." You see, in the time of trouble, we need to learn how to run to Him. If we've spent more time complaining about the Supreme Court decisions than we've spent seeking His face, we've made a huge mistake. The way we're going to hear what to do is in the secret place. Because the Bible says He whispers His secrets in our ears. He whispers in the secret place. Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble." Trouble, it comes, but God is it. I like this, Psalm 138, verse 7. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth Thine hand against the wrath of my enemies, and Thy right hand shall save me." In the midst of trouble, what should we expect? A revival. This ought to be a time of great revival. I'll tell you, as we stand confidently in what God has said, revival will break out like we've never seen before. The devil, the world, they all expect us to run and hide. They expect us to be like the children of Israel when Goliath was taunting them and hide in our foxholes every single day. They want us to sing Kumbaya, but not loud enough for anybody to hear it. God wants to send revival because He wants us to stand in this hour for Him, finding our consolation, not from what the world can offer us, but from Him. I tell you, if we'll spend time with Him, peace is going to come to us. And we'll laugh at the enemies of God. I ran across this scripture this week just in my daily Bible reading. This is in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 6. This is interesting. I read the Bible every year, and I'm sure you do too. I've read it for many, many years. And I read this passage of Scripture, and I thought, really, that's in there. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 6, in the first part of verse 7. It says, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us." Isn't that something? Now, the context of the verse is talking about resting in the revelation of Jesus when He is revealed with His mighty angel. So it's talking about end times. But we can apply it and make an application for right now in the time of trouble. It says, it's interesting. It says, it is a righteous thing with God. It's a righteous thing with God. The Amplified says, it's a fair decision. It's a fair decision. It's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now, we're not hoping that bad things are going to happen to anybody, but the Bible says it's fair that if they trouble me, God's going to trouble them. Well, the Bible says, touch not the Lord's anointed. Well, yeah, but we're not anointed. Yes, we are. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We have an unction, which is the anointing. He abides in us. It's a fair thing, the Bible says. I mean, the word trouble and the word tribulation are from the same word, and it literally means a heavy pressure situation. The Greek word originally meant to lay somebody on their back, tie them out, then you place a huge boulder on top of them until they're crushed, literally crushed under its weight. Trouble. So the word trouble actually, it means any situation that is crushing or debilitating. That's what the word meant in the original Greek language. It's talking about trouble that comes and it seems like there is no hope. What can we do? There's no way for us. This thing is so big. The Supreme Court said it. It's the highest court in the land. It's not the highest court in the universe. Compared to that court, the Supreme Court is wee little. Why would we allow their decision to affect what God said? Man, it's interesting. Verse 6 warns that those who mess with God's people are going to be repaid with the very trouble they tried to give to us. Let me read verse 6 in the Amplified. It says, it's a fair decision, since it's a righteous thing with God to repay with distress and affliction those who distress and afflict you. I'm not hoping that's going to happen to them, but the Bible says that. Now, our response should be to follow the rest of Paul's instruction here. It says, and to you who are troubled, rest. That's the answer to trouble. Rest. Rest. The word rest means to let up, relax, stop being stressed, to find relief. The word is likened to a bow string that is tight, and it's so tight, and all of a sudden it's just released, and it can relax. Have you been stressed out by what they said, by what the news is saying? Does it stress you out when you watch the news and the police are made to look like villains? And the people who are robbing convenience stores are made to look like heroes. Does that bother you? That bothers me. And I want to get on an airplane and fly somewhere and slap somebody. I've got to rest. The Bible says that those policemen are ministers of His. I don't have to defend them. He will. If I can get in the place of the Spirit and cry out to Him. See, we need to be people. And I'm not saying they're perfect people at all. But I'm just saying, we need to know that it's time for us to rest. 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 We've got to learn to find the hiding place. And decompress. And let Him tell us what to do. I love Psalm 91, so I'm going to read the whole thing to you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That's not just every now and then going there when you're in trouble. You live there. Dwelling in the secret place. This is a place that only I can go with God. That in this place it's just me and Him and nobody else can get there with me. I go by myself. And I'm with Him. If you dwell there and you abide under the shadow of the Almighty, I want you to notice something. It's going to tell me what I do, but then it's going to tell me what He does in light of what I do. Here's what I do. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. I will trust in Him. Maybe we ought to just say that this morning. God, you are my refuge, my fortress, my God. I trust you. Now, once you do that, look what happens. Surely. That's a pretty powerful word, surely. That means without doubt. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. I'm telling you, there's noisome pestilence out there. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. He'll deliver thee with his feathers under his wings. Shalt thou trust? His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night. I mean, we read about the terrorists every day. Should we be afraid? No. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Every day there's a new disease, right? And there seems to be no cure for it. We don't have to be afraid of it. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh to thy dwelling. Lord, we receive that right now. No plague comes in our dwellings. No evil befalls us, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath, this is now the Lord's talking, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Wow, it's a matter of dwelling in the secret place, trusting him, making him my habitation. That's the place I live. Setting my love upon him and knowing his name. I don't do a lot, but he does a whole lot. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's coming to him. It's fellowshipping with him. We know that if we'll come to him, we can have rest. In troubled times, no matter how troubling it is. Well, that brings me to my passage of Scripture we've been reading every week in John 10. And I'll just read it. We won't go very much longer, but listen to this. And we've read it every week for several weeks. John 10, verse 1. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Now listen, he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Listen, if it sounds strange, don't follow it. If it's strange, if it's from a stranger, don't go there. Don't even follow it. Now, new is different than strange. You know in your spirit, if you can agree. Listen. I do hear his voice. That's strange there. I don't have to follow it. Now, every one of us in this room have followed the strange voice before at some point. Here's the key. Remember that one and don't follow it anymore. Don't have to follow that. I don't have to follow that. I am his sheep. So are you. I can and do hear his voice. I recognize him. Jesus is making us a straight promise here. I can, you can, we hear his voice. In these days, in light of the trouble, we better hear his voice. because he's going to say, go here or don't go there. We better hear what he says. And like Tammy was saying earlier, he's going to say, shut up or speak up. And we need to know which it is. There's a time when you stand up and you tell what you know, but there's also a time that you just sit down and you don't say anything. And the devil will say, you're being a coward by not talking. No, you just got to hear the voice of the shepherd. Because there's a time to say, and there's a time not to say, according to Ecclesiastes. We got to figure out what it is. There's a time to fight, and there's a time not to fight. We don't fight every single time. We just have to know. We have to hear his strategy one step at a time. Jesus said, we are his sheep. We know his voice. He said in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. I know him, and so do you. We can hear him. In verse 25, it says, and Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. That's interesting. He's talking to a bunch of Pharisees here. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not. Why? Because you're not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. It makes it pretty simple. We are believers, right? I believe in Jesus. Jesus said the reason that you are not able to hear this is because you're not my sheep. It's pretty easy. If we're his sheep, we have access to hearing his voice. We are his sheep. We hear his voice. He calls, we follow. It's pretty simple. Man, it's not a matter of God speaking or not. It's a matter of our hearing and believing. Christians are trying to hear the voice of God. We're trying to hear the voice of God. And through the years, because the church has become carnal, we've tried to relegate the voice of God to circumstances. God isn't trying to get our attention by the Supreme Court ruling. He should have already had it. Now, that may have awakened some people, but we need to recognize that we are led by His Spirit. He's talking to us all the time. We have access to Him. And His Spirit abides on the inside of us, and that's where He leads us from. It's from the inside. We said we're not like the horse. We're not like the mule. We can be spiritually minded, and we can follow Him because we've spent time in the hiding place. He's been whispering His secrets in our ears. There are so many voices out there. Isn't it amazing to you how two people can go to one church service, hear the very same message, and one person be inspired and the other person be bored? Why? Because it's the inside of them where the Spirit of God's talking. God talks to His sheep. He tells us what we're supposed to do. We've got to be led by the voice of the shepherd, the voice of our master. This is about as far as I'm going to get today. Always remember this. If our heart is right, even if we miss it, God looks at our heart. If our heart is right, and we're doing everything we can to hear Him, and our heart is right, I'm not talking about begging and all that stuff. I'm talking about my heart's right with you, God, and I believe you told me this. And so I'm going for it right now. My heart's right, I'm still in His hand. I may not do it all perfect, but if my heart is right, He'll protect me. He's going to protect me, and I know I'm in the right place because I believe with all my heart that this is what He said. Now, understand, only you know if you really thought you heard it or not. Well, not only you and He, you both know. And you're not going to be able to stand before Him in heaven and go, well, but I thought you said, and He's going to say, no, you didn't. You knew all along. Yeah, but, no but. Admit it. Quit it and forget it. That's what He's going to say. But we need to recognize that we're in His hand. Even if we mess up, if our heart is right, He's going to help us out. He's going to take care of us. He'll protect us. Hearing Him, following Him, keeps us in His hand. To willfully disobey results in our removing ourselves from His protection in a situation. If you're there, there's an answer for that too. Repent and get back where you're supposed to be. Do what you're supposed to do. We've got to be honest with ourselves. We can't pretend we did or didn't hear Him. We got to be honest. We do what He says. He leads us and we follow Him. Next week, we're going to look at the difference between those who hear and those who don't. There's a key here. And so the first key to any of it is being spiritually minded, taking time in the hiding place and saying, Lord, I love You. You don't say my exact words, but worshiping Him, spending time with Him, and then allowing Him to minister to your spirit. You'll be so in tune that when you're out and you're at the red light or you're coming to a traffic signal and it's green, the Holy Spirit can say stop and you'll stop. And the drunk driver can go right on through. We've got to learn to hear Him in these days. You'll be in a restaurant and the Holy Spirit will say, don't say it. Don't talk now. You may never find out, but the guy in the seat next to you might have been somebody who could have damaged you with your words. But you didn't know because you heard him and you didn't say it. Let's pray. Father, today we believe that we are Your sheep. We hear Your voice. In troubled times, we can hear and know exactly what we're supposed to do. Father, we're going to be people who hear. We make a decision today that we hear You, we obey You in this time. We're not going to be afraid. Lord, if we believe You say it, we're going to do it. If we believe You didn't, we're not going to do it, but we're not going to be in fear. We're not even going to be afraid to make the wrong move. We're going to have our heart right with You. We're going to be so open to what You want to do that when You speak, we'll hear. And Lord, even if we miss it, You'll protect us. We believe You this morning. I thank You for the discussion we've already had before I started to preach. I thank You, God, that You're speaking to us. I thank You in Jesus' name.